The first reading can be found on page 705 at the back of the Blue Pew Bible and on page 1141 of the large print version. Reading from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 to 7. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow, and in his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations. That is my salvation, so that it may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up. Princes shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." This is the word of the Lord.
The Gospel reading is taken from John chapter 1, verses 29 to 42, on page 98 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles and page 1658 of the large print Bibles. Please stand for the Gospel reading. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Please do sit down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word for us today. May our hearts be open to receive whatever you have to say to us. Amen. Well, you know that when you read a book or see a play or go to the pictures, well, that's what we used to call it, go and see a film, and hear a story, you are invited often to identify with one of the characters. And one of my favourite stories, I've actually read the book as well, is Les Mis. Victor Hugo, of course. But and you can't help, those of you who know it, you can't help but identify with Jean Valjean, can you? The reformed, redeemed convict who has changed his life around and is now a strong hero. And I was wondering whether we can identify with John the Baptist in the same way. And I find a kind of resistance to that. I don't know. It's as if John the Baptist, he's such a big figure. He's so important. He's the prophet who says, this is Jesus who's coming. He's the Messiah. He's the one who shows everybody Jesus. And he's a witness to the identity of Jesus. But he's always pointing away from himself to Jesus. So somehow, whenever I try to fix my mind on him, wonderful figure though he is, I kind of slide off and I'm into Jesus, which is what is intended. So I don't know how you feel about that. But anyway, in our passage from John's Gospel, we hear John the Baptist, there are rather a lot of Johns, I'm afraid, declaiming several truths about Jesus. Firstly, in verse 29, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, the people listening to John would have understood what that meant. The Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb. And I'm presuming that you don't know anything, whilst knowing that you know it all, that the sacrificial Lamb is the Passover Lamb, who was sacrificed and the blood put on the doorposts of the children of Israel when they were slaves in Egypt, and the angel of death passed over them, and they were led out of slavery in Egypt to freedom in the promised land. So that sacrificial lamb was known for the freedom from slavery. Jesus is the sacrificial lamb, showing right in his beginning of his ministry what happens at the end. It's already there, written, as it were. And he is the sacrificial lamb, of course, that will free his people from the slavery to sin. So one big point about Jesus first that John is witnessing to. And then secondly, John the Baptist quotes words from God that he has taken into himself. Verse 33, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And of course, we're now not looking back to the story of the Exodus, we're looking forward to the story in Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, where the Holy Spirit comes down at Pentecost and rests on the people, on the children of Israel standing there, but not only on the children of Israel, not only on Israelites, because as we know, when we get to Pentecost and hear the readings, there are people the Spirit falls on who are from all over the known world. So now the Spirit is blessing everybody, all creation. So that's the second point about Jesus. And the third, in verse 34, John testifies unequivocally, this is the Son of God. An amazing truth, and you can understand why Jesus ranks ahead of John. He just happens to be the Son of God. And when John sees Jesus walking by the next day, Don't you love it? In John's gospel, he sort of grounds everything. The next day, sees Jesus walking by the next day, and he deliberately points him out to his two disciples. These are John the Baptist's disciples. And he points out Jesus, this is the Lamb of God. And this act is an act of complete self-abnegation. Because he knows, he's sending his disciples, saying, now, this is the one that you need to follow. And they do. They turn away from John, which, I don't know, it sort of tugs at your heart, really, don't you? But that's what John the Baptist is about. And they follow Jesus. Now, one of these disciples who follows Jesus is Andrew. We know Andrew. In the Synoptic Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he is a fisherman who is called from his nets. But in this Gospel, he's called in a slightly different way, but that's all right. And the other one with him is unnamed. We don't ever get his name. It's not Simon Peter. He comes in later. And this unnamed disciple, it's interesting because John has an unnamed disciple at the end of the story, John the Gospel writer, at the Last Supper, at the crucifixion, at the resurrection and beyond. The disciple whom Jesus loved, he's called. And we don't really know who that disciple is, but history tells us, or culture tells us, that it's John the Evangelist, John the Gospel writer. Doesn't really matter. It's a disciple. So they are now following Jesus. And as I mentioned earlier, I wonder how easy or difficult it is to identify with these characters. And personally, I find it much easier identifying with them, with Andrew and later Simon Peter, than with John. These disciples are so human. They are so keen that, oh gosh, this may be the Messiah. And yet they're so shy, and they don't quite know how to do it. And it's kind of slightly awkward and, oh, a little bit bashful, but they're so excited about their discovery. They're on a quest, believing that they're looking for the Messiah, when all the time, of course, Jesus is looking for them. He is looking for the disciples who will later be apostles, who will take his message to all the world. And he's found a couple here. And I'm on a quest to follow Jesus, and I hope you are too. And we think we're following in his footsteps, when all the time he's actually searching for us. And I think probably for most of us, he's found us. Hallelujah for that. And it does seem as if in John's gospel, the gospel writer is giving us kind of little details, sort of intending by these little details that we're going to identify with these disciples. He tells us that rabbi means teacher in verse 38, and he tells us in verse 41, Messiah means anointed, just in case we didn't know. And so as we travel with these disciples, we hear Jesus say to them and us, what are you looking for? Now, Jesus often asks questions like that. He asked the man who was a blind beggar sitting outside the walls of Jericho, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, to most people, it would be obvious. The man's blind. He wants to be healed. But no, Jesus makes no presumption. He imposes no ideas, no doctrines or ideologies. He just asks these wonderful open questions. And he says here, what are you looking for? He's begun a relationship with these two disciples. What are you looking for? Andrew and his friend don't really know what they're looking for. They don't really know what a Messiah looks like. And there are a lot of course, conflicting views about what a Messiah is. We know that some people in Israel thought that the Messiah was going to be a warrior figure who would come and kick out the Romans and free Israel. They didn't know what he was going to be like, but they wanted to find out. They wanted to be with him, to stay with him, let themselves be touched by his life. And so they say, this sort of rabbi, they're calling him teacher at the moment, rabbi, where are you staying? Which is a lovely sort of, it's like us saying, oh, where do you live? You know, which bit of Hamwell do you live in? Which we often ask people to sort of ground us in that relationship when we meet people. And then Jesus says these beautiful words, come and see. Such a gentle invitation. And it's an invitation to us to move forward in our journey, to come and see how Jesus lives his life of love, and to see him healing, to see him giving inner freedom to those who follow him. Andrew and his friends did see where Jesus was staying, and they remained with him. And in John's gospel, the words he uses often mean a little bit more than they first seem. Remaining with Jesus, well, it reminded me of John 15, the story of the true vine. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And those who abide in me remain in me, and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. So already they are, these friends are remaining with Jesus, invited into an intimate relationship with him, and they're not searchers and questioners, well, they may still be, but they're journeying with Jesus. And as they journey with Jesus, and as we do, we become witnesses to his mission, just like John the Baptist was. And eventually, when we've traveled quite a way sometimes, it's not an easy thing coming into the Christian faith, but when we've journeyed a bit, we are able to say with John, this is the Son of God. And then, of course, we say, come and see. If you think that this place and these people are going to help people to come near Jesus, then ask them to come. Ask your friends, ask your relations, ask anybody, ask somebody you meet in Sainsbury's, come and see. Come and see. Here, you can meet Jesus. Jesus is the one who will heal your broken hearts. Here you can meet Jesus, who is the one who will give you peace. Here you can meet Jesus, who is the one who will lead you further into the truth of God. As witnesses, we really only need to speak of our experiences of Jesus. We simply tell our own story. We might have a miracle to tell. And, you know, I'm going to take your name in vain, John. Can I? Yeah. Well, as most of you know, John and Andre have had baby Beau. And I think the reason you're here is because of this miracle. It's something which a lot of people can identify with, can't they? When you have a new baby and you think, this is, well, who can I thank for this? And you want to bring them before God. So we tell our own story, and we tell how Jesus perhaps is healing our stony hearts, if you've had a stony heart. Maybe he's making you have a fat heart, full of love, from being a bit kind of stony. We tell how Jesus is leading us into a world of universal love and compassion. And boy, is that needed. It's not always like that out there. We tell how Jesus is breaking down the barriers of difference. And we know there are many, many differences in the world, which people are ranging on either side. Differences in race, differences in religion, differences in sexual orientation, differences in gender, all sorts of differences in rich and poor that divide people. Well, Jesus breaks down those barriers. And the barriers of fear he breaks down. And isn't there a lot to fear in the world today? All over the world. And, of course, the big barrier Jesus breaks down is the barrier of sin, which separates us from God and other people. Ah, I'm glad you agree. And we tell of how Jesus is transforming our lives and bringing us a new inner freedom and peace and joy. And if we find words difficult, and I know some of us do, we can't imagine speaking the name of Jesus out there. We can actually still do the work by our transformed lives, just showing people how our lives are transformed, how we're growing in compassion, and how we're growing in dynamic love. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can become witnesses like John the Baptist and Jesus' disciples, Andrew and Simon Peter. And we can use those gentle yet dynamic words. Come and see. Come, Holy Spirit, and show us ways we can point others towards our Saviour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.